Hello and welcome to our 58th episode of the Gutenberg Changelog podcast, the first podcast of 2022. Happy New Year, everyone. In today's episode, we will talk about Gutenberg 12.2, 12.3, and even more features to customize sites, WordPress 5.9, release candidate, and the available Gutenberg-related developer notes for the upcoming release, and probably more. I'm Birgit Polly-Hart, curator of the Gutenberg Times and developer advocate at Automattic, and I'm here with my co-host, Jagos Cholkowski, JavaScript developer at Automattic and WordPress core contributor. Happy New Year to you, Jagos. How are you today?
Happy New Year, Birgit. I wish you and all our listeners a lot of exciting experiences with the Gutenberg blog editor in the 2022 year. I'm personally immensely enjoyed the slower pace at work in the last weeks when so many WordPress contributors took well-deserved extended time off, and you were one of them. How was your vacation?
Well, yeah, I've been very well, spending the holidays with dear friends in Vancouver and a short trip to Whistler in British Columbia. We had minus 21 degrees Celsius and beautiful weather in Whistler on the second day. So we went up with the gondola to the mountain peak, and yeah, what a breathtaking view. It's not something we see ever in Florida, where the highest peak is the I-75 overpass. I'm so glad to talk to you again, dear listeners, and Jagos. It's been almost 4 weeks, and we have a great show for you. Let's dig in.
Yeah, there is a lot to cover today, so let's start right away.
Yeah, we first have listener questions that we picked up on Twitter and from the email. Jessica Luschick is a German front-end developer and was part of the WordPress 5.6 release squad. Tweeted the other day, is it correct that in WordPress 5.9, it is still not possible to change the font family for a paragraph on a per block basis? I know it's possible in the styles and theme JSON, but only globally and not for the individual block. Well, our answer, indeed, yes, it's not yet possible with WordPress 5.9, but it's already available in Gutenberg 12.3. It's the PR 37586 in our changelog today, if you want to look it up. The change helps site owners and content creators to handle paragraph related typography and font family. One caveat is that the theme needs to provide a list of allowed font families. Otherwise, the settings will just follow back on the system font. Jessica, thank you so much for your question. And when you get a moment, play around with it via the Gutenberg 12.3 plugin and see if that matches your needs. And if there's something quirky, please let the developers know via GitHub issue or just ping me again on Twitter.
Yeah, I think we will also cover the changes to the group block, which also added the same functionality. So that will give you a fuller depth. So if you have several paragraphs and you don't want to change every of them one by one, you will be able to do it in the Gutenberg plugin on the group level.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I haven't seen that yet. Thanks for putting that in.
Yeah, and we have a second question from Aditya Kane, and she wrote, while full site editing is already very exciting and we are looking at some cool things happening around it, and I do think it will start to become a viable product to pitch to clients after WordPress 5.9 release. But at what point do you see it maturing to the level where WordPress agencies could feel more comfortable pitching it to very large enterprise level clients? Are there any great resources or places someone should watch or follow, other than, of course, Gutenberg Times?
Well, hi, Adita. Thank you for sending us your question. Yes, it's a very good one, and it gets the obligatory "it depends" answer. So from what I see, the foundations for full site editing are in. That means the minimal viable product with the user interface, it's only in the first version. I would not start Pitch until 6.0 is out. That hopefully settles the interface quirks some more. I probably would even wait building sites based on FSE until fourth quarter of 2022. However, and I have been known to be a risk taker, so it might be take this with a grain of salt. But however, if your clients don't need site editing interface for most of their workflows, the theme JSON improvement for controlling the theme and the block editor is solid, and it allows for disabling many, many features a client might with many members on the editorial staff definitely won't need. Or don't want, and you should be able to start working with it in second quarter in 2022, considering that large projects have a long on-ramp time. So by the time you're finished, late 2022 or even early 2023, it might have a much more solid base for you. So yeah, take it with a grain of salt. I think it's moving fast. But it's also something that everybody needs to get accustomed to. Jagos, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm still processing that because full site editing means a lot of things. And as you already mentioned, Team JSON and all the capability gives to the site owners or even content creators. So definitely you will see a lot of new blocks if you enable a block theme. However, if you only are concerned about editing content, you still will receive a lot of enhancements and new features to all blogs, like this global styles. This is something that you can control on the blog level. And with the theme JSON you mentioned, you can, you know, like fine tune to your needs. So definitely you should check out those global styles features on the blog level first, and see how that works for you. And, you know, wait maybe a couple of weeks to, like, I'm talking about enterprise, which is like, you know, we talk about big money here. So in that case, it's better to wait a few weeks and see how, you know, the committee responds to that. You know, it's like, and definitely in the meantime, you should try block themes that are showing up, and every week we see something new, exciting, and you, Brigitte, you follow it closely, and you definitely will have a recommendation for people if they want. So yeah, I mean, it's very exciting, and I'm personally more optimistic, and I don't think that we need to wait so long for everything, but I'm the developer and I like to live on the bleeding edge of technology. So
I really like that. So you got two optimists on that answer. Take it on your grain of salt, Adita. Thank you for your question. And you had a second question in there, is where to follow along with all the changes. It definitely is the Make Blog core, where all the updates will show up with the release notes for every Gutenberg plugin. It definitely will help you gauge all the good things if you follow along with the Gutenberg plugin and test things out. Of course, thank you for the shout out on the Gutenberg Times. We'll keep you up to date on any changes that are significant for agencies and others. You will also find a few shout outs to plugin developers that also work on the workflows for site builders. Yeah, and also there is a series going on that Ryan Welch and Daisy Olson, they are just starting with their live streams, taking a theme from zero to block. And that's certainly something. And of course, we will have the links in the show note. That's certainly something to watch and share with your developers so they can get accustomed to it. Now, listeners, if you have questions about Gutenberg, blocks, or full site editing, feel free to connect with us on Twitter, the WordPress Slack, or via email. It's changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. It's changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. We'll answer right away if we know the answer, and if we don't, we'll find someone who knows the answer, and we will share the question and answer with all our listeners. So don't be shy. We know that if you have a question that many others might have, want to hear the answer as well, as they have secretly asked themselves the same question. So it's definitely worth doing it, and it helps us be a little bit more, or even more streamlined for your needs. That's what we all want to do. Yeah, it's going to help you with the Gutenberg app, adoption. Speaking of Q&A.
Yeah, so if you missed it, the annual State of the Work talk by Matt Mullenweg and the live Q&A recording are now up on WordPress TV. And Josepha Hadden, the executive director of the Open Source Project, also posted on her blog answers to questions that didn't get to during the event. You will also find the array of questions people sent in or posted in the YouTube live stream. Not all have answered yet, but the comments are filling up. And we will share all the links, of course, in the show notes. And yeah, now let's go to the community contributions.
Which and first, we don't have.
let's go
to what's released, right?
And with that, let's go to the watch list section. Birgit, can you share the updates?
Yes. So there was quite a few things going on. So WordPress release candidate 1 for 5.9 was released on Tuesday, January 4th, and that signaled a hard string freeze. That's when the translators go to work and prepare the release for hundreds of languages. It's also the time to start where developers start publishing the developer notes for the new version. And the block-related dev notes are some
there
of them.
There is a lot of them.
There's a lot of them, yeah. It's about the block theme and the new way, and it's about new APIs, the miscellaneous block editor changes that are not going into a full post. There's very interesting dev notes also on how to control the inner block areas for the block editor, how to use multiple styles each for blocks, the post type and taxonomy changes. One dev note that has already been published in August is the gallery block refactor dev notes. We listed again, and they are still dev notes in the works.
Yeah, navigation. I think today, before we started recording, there was a navigation block in WordPress 5.9 post published with all the explanations, and I think there are two more coming, and you should know more about them.
Yeah, it's the theme related changes and the updated for the setting styles on theme JSON. So, but also I found in the Make blog a post about WordPress 5.9 performance improvements. Do you want to talk briefly about that?
Oh, yes, sure. So that's something that summarizes the work that was done over several WordPress major releases. So the post was by Anne McCarthy, but it was contributed by many more people from the community. And it was mostly about the performance related to the block editor, but also related to how that translates to the front end. And there is an interesting table there that shows the features of the block editor and how all those metrics changed starting from WordPress 5.6 up to the upcoming WordPress 5.9 release. And in many of these places, we can see significant improvements. And with the higher speed for instance, for the inserter opening that is faster, like the metrics that has been reduced by over 70%, which is like mind blowing. But the goal of the post is just to show that it's something that is constantly on the radar, and the goal is to arrive in future releases at even lower numbers. So it's not like a one-time initiative. It's something that we strive for the better future and for the better performance of websites. And definitely some of the dev notes we mentioned about, one of them is, for instance, about style sheets. And so it's like there are multiple projects that are interconnected. So one of the things that with the blockchains that come to WordPress 5.9, we have now this way of serving only CSS for the blocks that are actually rendered on the page, which was never a possibility. Like team authors, they could add CSS styles, and you wouldn't say if that is needed or not, but it has had to be always included. Now we can control that, and that's another great improvement that the block paradigm allows. So definitely check this post to see how many benefits the Gutenberg project brings, and all the work that people are doing on this, which is like, I would like to thank everyone for getting involved in the work to that, and for all the people that helped to summarize all the efforts, which is like a lot of work.
Yeah, I imagine it was a lot of work. Speaking of a lot of work, or Anne McCarthy, she just posted this week, ahead of the release, user documentation for end users about the new features. And we'll share so you can share them with your team, clients, and content creators about the new features that come in and can read up about how they are supposed to function. Sometimes iteration misleads us, and sometimes we need to take up the manual. We at our household, we have a two-pronged approach. Every time we get a new device, my husband disappears with the manual and I start pressing buttons. And sooner or later, I've come to the end of my knowledge because, there is a whole new feature there that I don't even know how it's supposed to work. So having the user end documentation is a huge step forward. And we didn't see that in the last 4 years. End user documentation was always behind the fast-paced releases on the block editor. But for this release, there was this urgent need. And I'm so glad that it happened, that we have some of the end user documentation already there. All right. So that's for now all we have for you around the upcoming WordPress 5.9 release. The reading list is quite long for everyone, and we are probably just 90 minutes ahead of you. We had another release, right?
Yeah, there is more. So I think it was yesterday on Wednesday, right? On Wednesday. So on Wednesday, we had WordPress security release. So we have now WordPress 5.8.3. which is the latest version. And the same changes were applied back to WordPress 3.7, which is what happens usually. And I checked the changes in the release. I didn't notice anything related to the block editor, but there were a couple of changes fixed. So make sure you update your website to the latest one. I hope you already have auto updates enabled, because we asked you for it for so many times.
Yeah. So, and if you don't, patch your site as soon as possible. We urge you. It's a security release, so it's definitely urgent that you do that. Well, there were also two Gutenberg plugin releases during the holiday break. WordPress never sleeps. So we are all going to talk about it now. Is not going into WordPress 5.9. Only features from Gutenberg plugins up until 11.9 made it into WordPress 5.9. And only a few bug and interface fixes from later versions had been backported to the WordPress 5.9 release. So when we talk about features and new blocks and everything, it's not going to be in 5.9. It will be in 6.0. So Jagos, take us into Gutenberg 12.2. I know you also worked on the new post comment blocks, a major feature to complete the blocks available for themes.
Yeah, that's right. So first, let me say that the Gutenberg 12.2, it was released on December 22, and the release was led by Anton Vlasenko. And as you mentioned already, there is ongoing work on the still experimental comments query loop block. And in that release, we added support for pagination, which is the same concept that if you are familiar with the query block, and that allows you to display a list of posts. So here it's the same concept, and in Briggs the pagination, so you can split your, if you have a lot of comments, you can split them into pages, and then the navigation, the numbers is just, you know, the way of navigating between pages. And the other work that's been done for the same block was adding support for nested comments, which some sites, they can decide whether you can have threaded responses to comments to, you know, have more granular discussions on some topics. So in general, this feature is now also included, which is the major difference between the query loop, which is just a simple list. And yeah, that's something that was added. And
really,
the other thing.
I really like that that is now coming to WordPress, because comments, there was no granular control ever for a site owner to for the comments, except a few features on and off and the bad word list kind of thing. But how to handle it with the pagination, with the nested or non-nested way, it definitely gives more control to the site owner that's never been there for WordPress before. Yeah, so thank you for working on that.
Yeah, so there's a full team working actually, the front TT team, so the company that they work on their own framework. They are now, you know, all those great folks, they are now working on bringing the interactivity for comments into the WordPress core, which is amazing. They're doing a great job. And one more thing that I wanted to mention in here is that you mentioned that the, you know, styling for comments, that was really hard, and extending them. There is a lot of filters and functions and, you know, helpers. But the way I see that everything, they had to redo it from scratch, and like you write their own PHP implementation, and that will end. And it will give a lot of flexibility for creators.
Excellent. So another feature was that the team refactored the handling of the padding for the group and the columns blocks, which was it's a major improvement, especially for designers because and develop theme developers, because now this refactor kind of lowers the, it's a little bit technical, I'm sorry about that, but I think it's helpful for the theme developers who are looking at using groups and column blocks in patterns. It lowers the specificity for the CSS, and now you can control padding for both blocks very easily by overriding the CSS in your theme. And an example of that is in the PR, it's the PR 37356, if you want to look it up, 37356. The specificity for blocks and CSS has always been one of the pain points of nested blocks and more complex blocks. So this definitely reduces it.
Yeah, there is also, if you look technical, there is a change to the template part. So and there are now filters that allow you to change the loading behavior, because as you know, like for template part, you can provide with the team an HTML file, but it's something that you can also override. So it's stored in the database. So, you know, like this allows plugin authors to change how it behaves and provide their own workarounds or like improvements.
Yeah, and it seems that those hooks are also backported to 5.9. So that's one of the features that made it into the release, because it started very, very early in the release. All right. The next thing we want to talk about, and believe me, there is a lot of change requests, pull requests in the changes. So we are really cherry picking things. So the border controls are now displayed in the tool panel to make it available to the site editor to control all the borders around things. And with this release, switching it to the tools panel, it makes it easier to put it into, the tool panels were introduced in Gutenberg in 11.3, and they're offer a so-called progressive discovery options for all the block supports features. And they're still working on the user, improving the user experience. And I like it that it's now not all in one display, but you can have sections. So one is the border controls, one is the typography, the other one is appearance, or colors. So, and then there's a slide out that gives you then the additional controls or for that. So it's a much better experience, and you're not looking at all the controls all the time, only when you need them. So that's certainly part of it. And the border controls were wanted for so long from the community.
Yes. And there's also changed the font size picker. So this component has so many like enhancements over time. Like I think like a fifth version of how it behaves. So now we have a change. If there is like a bigger number of labels, it shows now numbers like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you can like, you know, it's like when you hover over it, then it shows the name. But the idea is that you can now simplify changing between them, because you just move between numbers and just you see how it looks like. And yeah, I don't know how you feel about that. As like something you need to test and see how it works for you.
Yeah, I think it's important to have end users or content creators look at that again and send us the feedback, because at one point it's certainly easier to say, okay, I want the first level, second level, third level, fourth level, fifth level kind of in a, but it has, the numbers have nothing to do with the size of it and the pixel size, but it's definitely easier to understand the hierarchy than the earlier ones were small, large, huge, very large, kind of where the labels were a bit arbitrary, but the hierarchy wasn't really particularly clear. Yeah, it's definitely a work in progress, and it could use some user feedback there, definitely, yeah. Another feature enhancement was that the most components are now iterated in getting the to reducing the sidebar clutter. Also in the tools panel is to improve the, includes now the custom color implementation that takes advantage of the new drop-down based color picker. And it seems to be improving the UI quite a bit, and I like it very much. And now many of the components, many of the blocks are actually using that. And so we'll see about that. That's why it's released in the plugin and not yet in WordPress, because we need some, the developers definitely need some user feedback in if it makes it life easier and how to more improve it.
Yeah, there are also some changes to the site editor. And if you weren't aware, so when you have the block theme enabled, then you won't see the customizer link in the appearance menu. However, there are some plugins that require that feature, like WooCommerce is one of them. So the change was to detect that case and show back this link to the customizer when it's really necessary. I'm not sure if that's going to be, if that was backported to WordPress 5.9. Yeah, I commented on the PR, so we'll find out about that soon. But yeah, it seems like something that was missed in the process. The other big change is that before when you would like to switch between templates, when being in the site editor. So for instance, when you were on the single post template and you wanted to go to the home template, and then you would have to click and go to like have a full page refresh, go to another page, then load the list of templates, pick your template, it will refresh again, reload everything. Now it's was vastly improved because it uses a client side routing, so everything happens, you know, with JavaScript, which like speeds up the process a lot and is much more user friendly, in my opinion, at the moment.
Yeah, thank you. And so there was also a change in the scripts to enact React Fast Refresh for the block development. I saw that and I thought that was also part of the changing how re-render from upon changes the components in the block editor work. Is that a fair assessment or am I missing something?
No, it's purely for block development and that it's still not published to NPM to the WordPress scripts tool and it should happen in the upcoming days. But the idea is because this is the feature that was implemented for React, which basically it's a mix of few techniques. And the idea is that when you change something in your source code and you have built in the watch mode, so that means that it picks up all your changes from the code when they are saved, this allows you to in the browser to update the code on the fly and you don't have to refresh anything. You will see all the changes immediately. And that applies to JavaScript, but also to CSS, which brings a really nice experience and that block developers should take advantage of in the near future. So yeah, I'm really excited about that one. And yeah, I can see for the feedback from people and how they like it and how it should evolve.
Excellent. Yeah, so increasing the developer experience is definitely a good way to, now that all the foundations are in, to get that even more prominent. So, and then there were a ton of bug fixes in the release 12.2. And we only wanted to point out one that is coming to the query loop, or that came to the query loop, that uses a use block preview component and that fixes the alignment of the query loop block editor. So the block preview is that you, when you hover over the patterns and in the placeholder, that you actually see how it all works, and it's now implemented for the query loop.
So yeah, but this is something like, this is a place where there was a code reuse. The feature is exactly in the inserter, but also in other places. And this particular, it's the query loop. So when you have a list of posts, and the issue was that sometimes when you had multiple their blocks, and that selecting them would have some bad side effects. In this particular, the alignment wouldn't be properly applied. So when you would pick for your query loop wide alignment, but there would be parent alignment would be different. It didn't quite work well. So that's fixed now, and that's going to be in the WordPress 5.9 release as well.
Oh, cool. Good.
Actually, there's one more thing I want to talk about, which is in the site editor, there was an issue with the order of including templates in the case when you would have a child theme. So it became a bit complex because you could have the case when your parent theme would have HTML template in the block theme, and but your child theme would override that with the PHP file like in the classic theme. So now, you know, it's like it's fixed that if your theme defines this PHP file, it will take precedence over the HTML, which is like when you have a block theme, it's the opposite. Like the HTML take precedence. So it's like some complex edge case, but fortunately it was fixed on time.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, thanks for pointing that out. And then I think that there's another one in the block editor where the team fixed the content loss when ungrouping template parts or reusable blocks. So there was some edge cases where content was lost when you change the order of blocks or make a group block disseminated into the single blocks, the same with reusable blocks. So that is definitely fixed, and a lot of users will probably issue a sigh of relief for that, finally.
Yeah, you could always use undo button, but it's like it's always the worst experience when your content disappears suddenly and you don't know why.
Yeah, it's heart attack inducing. Yeah, or at least adrenaline shots. Yeah, there was quite a few documentation updates. Nothing really stood out, but it's definitely go through the list if you are missing some documentation. It might have been already issued, and I'm just only skipping over that because we have another release to go to, and we are pressed for time in this. And
yeah,
it's scrolling. Yeah.
There is so big. I think we can go to Gutenberg 12.3 because we could spend a lot of more time on that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And so Gutenberg 12.3 was released on Wednesday, January 5th. And the release was led by Luis Herranz, and he also published the new post. And I know that you were also working more on the Gutenberg 12.3. Jagos, do you want to start out with the new features there?
Sure. So this release was much smaller, mostly because, as I mentioned at the beginning, so many people were away from keyboard, enjoying some time with friends and family. But still, there was a couple of interesting features added. So some of them you know already if you are listening our podcast. So to the group blog, which also has the variation for the row, there was added gap support, which gap support is the space that you can control between several blocks that are inside this block. And the other feature is a typography support that I mentioned when we were answering the question. So yeah, that is now possible. It's quite nice. I like that, especially the typography ones, like you can change the typography for a couple of blocks, and that applies not only to paragraphs, but that to other things that support typography.
Yeah, and one note is that the new gap setting is also available to the row variation of the block, the group block, which was added in 11.5, but it's added horizontally instead of vertically. So it gives you a lot more options to customize your layout. Then there was a new block. It's the new author name block, and it's part of the effort to split the post author block into separate blocks to allow even more granular layout options for themes theme developers were kind of complaining that there wasn't enough flexibility there, and it now has been released. This means you have extra options to customize the author name to your liking.
Yeah, and there is plan to add author bio and author avatar, so that will give more options. And this one was also inspired by the implementation of the comments query block, which got another two blocks, which are related to the pagination. And one of them is next, and obviously the other one is previous, although they might be renamed to older and newer, because this is how usually see them in the existing classing themes. And that was a very exciting milestone, because that means that all blocks that were planned for this block are already in place, and you can test all of them. However, I just want to mention that it's still experimental. It means that some of the features, especially for settings for the sites that exist already in WordPress, are still being applied, and it's quite complex task, so I expect that it might take some more time. However, you know, it's like the most important part, which is how to style those blocks, is already there. So definitely check it out if you don't like the block that it's called post comments block that is already there, that eventually will be replaced with the new one.
Excellent. Yeah, there are indeed, there is also a tracking issue available on GitHub with the upcoming changes. So if you, so there is the newer and older that you mentioned name for the pagination blocks, forwards and backwards. And then also how the pagination is handled with comments, with replies. That's still in the works. There's also something in the works for the placeholders, block placeholders that will be created similar to the query loop. So you have different combinations that you can get out of the box, and a few bug fixes. So it's definitely the first version. It's a working version, but nothing is perfect, and it can always be improved on. So there were in the 12.3, there were also enhancements to the block library. And I want to point out the one for the site logo. And the site logo block now has an option to also set the site icon from the site logo block settings. That's one of the features that actually were coming through the customizer. And it's very important to get some parity with it. Site icons, just in case you're not aware of it, are the little icons that you see in browser bookmarks or in tabs or within the mobile app. So it's quite a identify the site in open tabs, which I have now open, I don't know, 30 per window. And no, having a site icon definitely helps me find the right one.
And yeah, this one is a little bit surprising for me, the way it's implemented, because this is a toggle button that is inside the sidebar. So when Luis was working on the release post, we discussed that one because we couldn't quite understand how it works exactly. I mean, it makes a lot of sense how it ended up being implemented. But the confusing part was that when someone changes the site icon in the different place, and that's, you know, you need to refresh the page to see that it's no longer set as a default one. So that's something that might you know, confuse some people.
Yeah, I can see that's happening. It's always the time when you have the synchronization issues between the classic and the new block editor. And I think there's a similar problem, I would say, with a navigation block. When you have existing menus that come into the navigation block, when you change them, it's not gonna change the existing one. It's creating a new record and all that. I think there is no really good way to do this, but it will be at first a little bit confusing to some users. Same when you go back from block editor to classic editor in your post. Yeah, it's kind of, it doesn't work, the switching back and forth. So once you decide going one way, might want to stick to it.
Yeah, but because like from my perspective, the biggest challenge is that when you see toggle, you expect that once you toggle it, it will remain the like this in this state, right? Mm-hmm. However, it's not the case here.
Yeah. And you can change it through the customizer again, and then it's not showing up on the site logo block. Yeah, that's definitely a disconnect there. The next feature we already talked about, that's the paragraph to add font family support. Again, shout out to Jessica who raised the question on Twitter, and I was so happy that we could point to this pull request. Then the next one is the comments template now has also comments pagination. That's all part of the comments query block in a template. So there's, I don't think more to talk about it than what you already told us.
When you insert the comments query loop, it will just show you all the available inner blocks. That's the biggest change here. And in the future, I would expect that it will look more like a query loop, that you have this option to pick one of the existing quick templates, or just go to the patterns selector and just, you know, see whatever is there and pick the one that suits you best.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you. And then one of the most popular blocks is the spacer block, and it now has custom units for height and width. So you can do it in EMs, in re-EMs. You can do it in viewport width and viewport height. So that's a lot of people ask for that, especially theme builders or site builders that control their site through the interface and are not working with code.
I'm curious, what's the future of this blog? Because now we have all those spacing options that you could pick, like top margin or bottom margin, and then this blog might not have the future at all.
Well, I think it does, because it's an easy way to, so you don't have to space out both of it. Yeah, you just kind of put a space in there and continue working on your content, just because when you have when two blocks bump up against each other, you don't have to think about which one do I have to change and where do I change it. So you just kind of put the spacer block in there. It has a default of 40 pixels. You can change the default to 20 pixels, and then every time you use the spacer block, it's the same. So I think it has a future for fast power users that got accustomed to it. The custom units for height and width definitely help you. Also for the theme JSON to have default values for that. But other than that, a content creator definitely seems to love that because they're not always in control of the theme.
Yeah. I know that it's highly popular blog. Like when I saw some stats like a few months back, it was on the seventh place from the most popular blogs, which was quite surprising. But now I get your point.
Yeah, I was surprised when I saw that too. But that has been for the last 4 years, so it definitely is good that the space padding and margin controls are in, but they only came in 2021. So that's where also a lot of muscle memory is in there to use the spacer block just instead. So we're coming. So that's, there are quite a few other enhancements. We will, however, jump over them and go to one of the bug fixes that restrict the navigation permission and show the UI warning if it cannot create it. So there was one testing in the testing of WordPress 5.9 that came out that the navigation block or menu is actually restricted for non-admin users, but the block editor wouldn't behave right well for that. And now it's definitely clear that only admins can create navigation menus. And there is a loading spinner that doesn't go anywhere. It now has a UI warning that the permissions are not the right ones. So that's definitely, that was also patched back to WordPress 5.9, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it would give you a false feeling that you can do too much, but it looks like, at the moment, like the approach they took, that it only allows you to pick one of the existing menus, is pretty nice.
Yeah. Yeah. What else do we want to pick out from there? So there is an update in the multi-editing saving. Do you have any more information about that on the post editor?
No.
Oh, there was when the publish button was clicked, and not always the multi-editing. When multi-editing saving needs to happen, it wouldn't then go further to the post-publish panel to actually publish a post. It would just save the multi-editing, but not publish the post. I think that was the problem. Or when you want to switch off saying, oh, I changed the header, I didn't want to do this, and then you check it off in the multi-editing saving and still wanted to publish it. Yeah, I think that was the problem. Yeah,
and that brings us to the documentation section. And here we have a new page that was added, and that one is for core blog. So now we have a new tool in place that generates some basic characteristic for all core blogs that exist there. So that's good for team authors, because now they can check all the blogs and, you know, and they can easily look for the features they have, like all these blog supports like typography, spacing, borders, whatever. And yeah, I expect that this page will get much better over time, because this is just the beginning. But now that we have feedback from everyone, would be very much appreciated, because it will help to shape that.
Yeah, and I can see that it's not only usable for theme developers, plugin developers probably would like that, are absolutely happy about that too, because they also see all the attributes that come with each block and can decide right there how the extensions would work if they want to extend existing blocks, and can have a complete, and I think that's the operating or the executive kind of word there, complete block reference of all the core blocks coming from the block JSON file in the block. So it's definitely an improvement of the documentation.
Yeah, now that we have that, it also would be great to include any information when block was included in WordPress core. So, you know, people can have a good expectation, because some of those blocks are still in experimental phase. Some of them, they're becoming WordPress 5.9. And some of them exist from the very beginning.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. And there was also a change in the handbook. So there is a lot of code examples. And so far they had two versions. One of them was called ESNext, and the other one was called ES5. And that has changed now, because like the distinction that existed before was mostly because IE11, it could support only older version of JavaScript. And these days, all the browsers that WordPress supports, they work with ESNext. So this wasn't working well. So now the distinction is between JSX, which also translates to the code examples that require a build step. And then the other one is called plain, which basically you can copy and paste into your browser some of those examples, and they should just work. Definitely.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, so it lowers the barrier of entry for someone who is not yet completely familiar or comfortable with JSX to see other code examples. Yes, so, but JSX is mostly coming from the React framework, but you can also write blocks in plain vanilla JavaScript, as it's called. I think that was a name I was working, trying to find. Okay. So I think that concludes our dive into the changelog of the 12.3 Gutenberg plugin release from this week. We're coming to the section of what's in active development, and I just wanted to give a shout out to your proposal, Jagosh, on changing. You were the one who published the proposal, but of course it comes from the core JavaScript group, on changing the JavaScript coding standards so prettier and can be used also out of the box, instead of using the WordPress own version of it. Do you want to explain a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so first of all, Prettier, this is the tool that we use in the Gutenberg project to format the code, so it looks the same no matter, you know, what your style's preferences is. So that helped us a lot to decrease the number of changes in the PRs that were purely about white spaces or stuff like that. And also improved the speed of code review, because now you can focus on the code. But the thing is that it was, I think, 2 years ago. when we introduced this tool, we couldn't use the official one that is a big open source project and is widely used by the JavaScript community, because WordPress has different opinions about spacing around brackets and parents. So we respected that, and we used the tool that the fork that Automatic was maintaining. But in the last year there were no updates. And in the meantime, we started using that tool because it's so powerful. It also works with CSS, Markdown, XML, JSON, and like the list is long. There is even experimental version for PHP. We don't want to go in the PHP route, like it's too much, but for other things we started applying that, and it's like it's so fantastic, like makes everything so much easier. And like for me, the biggest the most powerful thing is that when you format Markdown files, it also can detect CSS snippets, JavaScript snippets, and it applies formatting to them according to the rules you specify for this language. So it's like, well, wow, that's my blog. It can do that. So yeah, we just need to use the full power of the tool. But you know, it's like it's a hard decision, because like nobody wants to change the coding styles that I'm familiar with this existing coding style for nearly 7 years. And I mean, like, I'm fine with that. I've been using them for so long. So it's not that I want that. It's like just like the benefits, in my opinion, and as far as the feedback goes so far, for many people, the benefits are much bigger than, you know, the need to changing those styles and reformatting many projects. But it's like, it's a hard decision. So we are waiting for the feedback from the community before we take any further steps.
Yes, and if you want to get even more detailed, we will have the link to it in our show notes, and also, yeah, comment and let the team know what you think about that. I find it, if it's inclusion more JavaScript and gets WordPress more into what the bigger JavaScript community is doing, it's one thing. It also takes care of TypeScript, I understood, and some of the underlying code of Gutenberg is written in TypeScript. So it helps also contributors, the new contributors coming to the project. So although I'm not that into that coding, but Prettier is definitely a nice tool, especially for beginners, to make sure that your code is right and to find all the quirks and syntax problems that you inadvertently introduce before you have a build done. So definitely all for it. And I need to add my comments to that as well. But yeah, so that is in the works. And how long is the comment section? Comment? It's about 3 weeks, I think, the comment time for that.
Okay, so initially I set the deadline for 3 weeks. However, there was already a comment from Felix from Google that it should be extended, and I'm fine with that. It's like whatever the committee decides, let's say a few weeks from now, as to make the decision.
Excellent. Yeah. All right. So this concludes our Gutenberg Changelog episode 58. It's 5.8. No, it's 58. Sorry. And I want to remind everyone, there is actually if you want to learn more about full site editing and what's coming to 5.9, the meetup of Boulder, Colorado has a panel discussion coming up on Monday, the 17th at 6 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern and 1 a.m. Sorry, Europeans, UTC. And of course, we have the link in the show notes, but it's the panel is Brian Gardner from WP Engine, developer advocate and theme developer by heart, Courtney Robertson. She is a developer advocate at the GoDaddy Pro, and she's also part of the WordPress training team that brings you all these nice new courses and workshops and social learning spaces, and yours truly. And I will be on that panel too. So if you want to join us and get your questions answered, panel discussion, WordPress Meetup, Boulder, Colorado, January 17th at 6 p.m. Mountain Time, 8 p.m. Eastern, and 1 a.m. UTC. And if you have any things that you want to, you're not able to go there because of the late night, just have the your question or so in the comments on the Meetup page, and we'll take it in onto our panel. A shout out to Angela Bowman, who is the Meetup organizer of that Meetup. And thank you. I thank her for the invitation and the preparation for that. All right. Do you have anything that you want people to know, Jagosh, off the top of your head?
No, just when you said 5.8 episode number, just like I thought that next in 2 weeks, we will be very close to WordPress 5.9, and we will be recording Gutenberg changelog number 59, which is quite a nice coincidence.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, you're right. I didn't realize that. So our next recording will be on January 21st. So yeah, that's about 4 days before WordPress 5.9 is going to be released. All right. So as always, if you listen to the shows and you like it, it would be really helpful to have a review on the places where you like the Stitcher or iTunes or Google. If you write us a review, it will be really fantastic, because it also helps us with the distribution of the podcast. And we always want to get in contact with you. Again, if you have questions, ping Jagosh on Twitter or myself or Gutenberg Times at Gutenberg Times on Twitter, or send us your questions or suggestions or news to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. That's changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. The show notes will be on gutenbergtimes.com/podcast. And this is, as we mentioned, episode 58. So thank you, Greg, for another great show. We covered a lot, and I hope you have a wonderful next 2 weeks. And I will get back to Florida to the warmer weather, which I really like and I really long for.
I can only imagine. Yeah. So thank you, everyone. Thank you, Birgit. And hopefully we see in 2 weeks, so we don't have to wait so long to record the next episode.
All right. You all take care. Bye-bye now.
Bye.